Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. In studio with me is Kevin Steggy with the Baker Colson CPA firm. Good morning, Kevin.
Hello, Chuck.
And for all you listeners out there, if you're turning in new and you've not heard this show before, this is a show that's interactive. We look for you to ask questions. We'll respond and try to give you an answer. This is your show. We do this primarily as a public service to get out there information that you may be seeking, maybe people aren't telling you. This is your opportunity to pick up the phone, ask us a question that's been keeping you up at night. You can reach us at 503-417-9595. For you podcast listeners and people throughout the country that listen to us, it's 877-733-1011. So I'm going to get right off and talk about the market. And, I got to tell you, I keep hearing all these politicians talk about, it's kind of funny, the last 8 years we've doubled the national debt. Most of the congressmen haven't said a thing about it. Now we're sitting here looking at $21.689 trillion in debt, folks. I'm telling you, it may not happen tomorrow. I don't have a crystal ball. In fact, nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows what's going to happen. If we knew what was going to happen, we would all be bazillionaires. The fact is, we don't know. I don't know. You don't know. I always enjoy it when people tell me they timed the market perfectly, but when I ask them to bring me their tax return and I ask them to show me the statements, I never get them. I never get to see the facts. They tell me they did, but then when I say, well, bring them in, I want to see, because, man, if you've done this, I'll recommend you. And they just don't do it. They don't bring them in, you know? And it's kind of like I tell a story once in a while when I'm talking to people about it. I had a guy one time years ago was telling me how much money he made investing on his own. And I said, I don't know why he even came in here then, because If you're making, 16 to 20% a year, I'm not going to be able to do that. So, maybe I need to pay you. If you could do those kind of returns, I'll pay you if you can net me those kind of returns. Well, the fact is, when we got down to the bare bones of it, he really wasn't making that kind of money. He did on a couple of investments, but he had a couple he lost. He just kind of didn't count those. The reality is this is what I tell people when their neighbor's telling them about all the money they're making in the stock market and stuff. What you need to ask that neighbor who's telling you how much money they're making in the stock market, say, that sounds really great. How about if you let me take a look at your tax return? How about you let me take a look at your investment statements? If you're doing that well, I'll pay you to get those kind of returns. So let me see the numbers. And, call in the show. If you get those numbers, call in. Let us see them. I'd like to see them, because I'll verify them. If you got them, I'll verify them. But, very few people buy at the bottom. Very few people get out at the top. Even our really good money managers that are really good, that do this for a living, that are 24/7, they still can't time it perfectly. Hey, folks, Warren Buffett can't tie it perfectly. I mean, he lost billions of dollars in 08. He didn't recover on most of his stocks for 5.5 to 7 years. Folks, you know, if he loses $7 billion, it's not a headache. You know, for most of us, if we lost, 10 or 12% of our portfolio, could be cardiac arrest time, you know. But for somebody that wealthy, you know, he can afford to do whatever he wants to do, like cut a big $5 billion deal with Bank America at 6% interest when the market was tanking. Not too many people can do that, but if you got billions of dollars, you can do those things.
Well, it's kind of like financial statements, the difference between a balance sheet and profit and loss. Well, a balance sheet's just a picture of assets on one day, and you can make that look pretty good or pretty bad on any given day, but you look at the profit and loss, that's a period of time. And when you look at the activity over a period of time, what really happened over that time? So, I mean, if you just take a, you know, performance over a month, I mean, I can show you some really good returns on my investing. But you look at my lifetime track record, Chuck. Yeah, I need help.
Well, you're like with, you know, most people. And, you know, the fact is when you look at it, it's not what you gross, it's what you net. And I have to tell you, the way the market's going right now, it's been a roller coaster. It's been up, it's been down. Right now, as of Friday, and if we take a look right now, just at Friday, year to date, you wouldn't say we've had a lot of volatility, but you wouldn't say we're having a gangbuster year either. As of Friday, as of the close of 11/2, the S&P closed at 27.23.06, and we're up 1.84%. for the year. Okay, the Dow Jones, folks, I've been saying this on our show for years. We have an upside-down economy. Nobody in the news is talking about it. I've been talking about it for years to you on the radio. The Dow Jones is consistently kicking the crap out of the S&P. Now, just common sense tells you S&P 500 or 500 growth stocks, the Dow Jones are 30 big sluggish companies that just kind of chug along, although the big ones now are not chugging along. They're pretty big. The fact is, the Dow Jones is up 2.23% year-to-date. Folks, those are not great numbers. They're just not great numbers. If you go back and you look at, let me just try to get my chart here because I got a snafu on my computer this morning. Of course, that always helps. But I'm going to get it here in a second. The fact is, the Dow Jones and the S&P, since the turn of the century, the Dow Jones has outperformed the S&P. That's kind of upside down because if you go back the 80 years before, the S&P consistently outperformed the Dow Jones. The other reason why I firmly believe, I like the song Don McLean, The Day the Music Died. Well, I like to call it The Day the American Stock Market Died. And I like to go back to 12/31, about 90 days prior to the tech bubble. And it still makes me mad on TV. I hear all the time people saying the tech bubble went in 2001. Get on Google, folks, and look. It did not. It popped in 2000. And I hear that all the time because, unfortunately, 90% of the news in this country is biased political. And what they don't want to tell you is that the tech bubble actually happened. Bill Clinton was still president. The markets were collapsing around us when George Bush got elected. And when the only stupid mistake Bush made was he didn't say it's the economy, stupid, because it was the economy. The problem is, that tech bubble blew, and then, you know, it wasn't but a year and a half later, and 9/11 happened. And I got to tell you, folks, that was kind of the coup de grace, just kind of pushed that down even farther. But most people didn't recover for 5.5 to 7 years. And the ones that did got caught back in the crash again, and they didn't recover up until 2013. So here's the question I have for you. Do you have a strategy? Do you have a strategy for a bear market? We've had an unbelievable bull market, and anybody with any common sense knows we're going to have a change. Folks, that $21 trillion that we have in this country in debt, that's going to come back to roost. Believe me, we cannot keep spending more than we make as a country. And the fact is, the only way we can is, and we can grow ourselves out of the economy, but what we really have to do is we have to cut spending. You can't keep spending more money than you're making. That, you know, if you and I do that, it's called bankruptcy. You know, that's why the bankruptcy courts are full of people. People spend more than they make. We've always recommended to our clients, hey, live below your means. Live on 90% of what you make. You know, if you do that, you'll always be ahead. You'll always be ahead.
Yeah, you know, staying within your means. I can, when I get a new client or I'm sitting down with a conference, probably within the first half an hour, I can tell whether, you know, I'm sitting down, I'm looking at the business layout, the personal taxes, and talking to the client about expectations, where they want to go with their business, how they want to manage their tax bill and such. And within about that first half hour, you can pretty well see if this is going to be a, if you will, a problem case, because there's unrealistic expectations about how much they want to pay in taxes and how they view themselves in terms of climbing the social ladder, or the wealth ladder, what have you. And, you know, you got to have reasonable expectations, especially when you're making good money. And, I mean, you hate to see that big check go out bottom line to the taxing authorities. But, man, if you're not planning for a third of your profit, I mean, that's just the way it works.
Well, listen, here's the reality about investing. You sometimes you can't invest your way out of it. Here's the problem. If we go back to 12/31/99, the S&P, as of Friday, has returned 4.79% per year back to 12/31/99. The NASDAQ, which is high tech, has returned 4.53. The Dow Jones, do we get a drum roll here? The Dow Jones has kind of smoked them. Let me see here. The Dow Jones has returned a whopping 6.72, 50% more than the S&P and the Dow. So let me tell you, folks, you may have great returns investing in the S&P on a year from year one to one basis, but over the long term, conservative investing has smoked it. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Kevin's going to talk a little bit about taxes. But most importantly of all, we want to hear from you. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Because remember, it's your time on the air here. So you can call and ask any question you want. Kevin and I will try to give you an answer. But give us a call because there's other people out there that want to talk about the same thing. They're maybe too shy. 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. And if you like our show, call the station you're listening to it on, call them and tell them you want the show to continue on. So thank you very much.
Price Financial Group, wealth management.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And Kevin, you were talking just before, while we were on a break here, we were talking about millennials and their saving habits.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was just reading a report that was saying that one in three millennials said cash investments such as savings and CDs are the best place to invest their money that they won't need for the next 10 years. First off, I didn't know millennials didn't need every cent that they made at this point. I mean, didn't we all when we were at that stage paying off, you know, debts and all that type of stuff? But if they did have some savings, they thought like making less than 1% when inflation is over 2% is a good thing.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I know with this great job market, I got a lot of happy clients that their grandkids have moved out of their basement and they're out on their own working and getting a job. So, you know, with the job market right now, millennials, for the first time in their lifetime, there's more jobs than there are people. So the millennials, they're entering a new environment that they've never lived through before.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a question. We've got a caller on the line. Looks like it's Jennifer. You got a question?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question, I think, for Kevin. When it comes to estate, how do they get an assessment on the home? Do they require an official one, or can a real estate make that?
Excellent question. Right. So valuing real estate for estate tax purposes, an appraisal is obviously the best way to go, especially if it's a favorable number. It's nice to have that in an appraisal. But a CMA, a comparative market analysis, is also acceptable by the IRS. So you could have a realtor, especially if it's, you know, just a single family residence, or, you know, they can pretty well figure out roughly what that's worth, and a CMA is acceptable. Obviously, an appraisal would trump that. So,
right. But, do you happen to know what an official appraisal would be cost wise? About,
you know, somewhere around $400 to $600. Depending on the property. So it's not bad, and especially if someone has multiple pieces of real estate, it's probably good to snag an appraiser and have them. Have them do that.
Yeah, well, this is just a single home, and so I just didn't know what the law, the IRS, would accept.
Mm-hmm. The IRS actually has it in their instructions that a CMA is acceptable, but they do prefer the appraisal.
Okay, what does the CMA stand for?
Oh, comparative market analysis. That would be a realtor, what they would list it for.
Okay. Okay, very fine. That answers my question.
Excellent.
Good question. And of course, what Jennifer was referring to in Oregon, estate taxes start at $1 million. So if your estate is over $1 million, you could end up paying estate tax on your assets.
Yep.
And pretty much that includes all your assets.
Exactly, including life insurance and such. I recommend the CMA when... maybe your estate's at like $800,000, $900,000, and you just want to, you've put together the inventory of the assets, and instead of, you know, paying $500 for an appraisal, just get the CMA that says, yeah, we think it's worth $350,000. That gets us up to the $800,000, $900,000, and you've got some documentation to show. But, you know, if you're significantly over the million, appraisals is probably a good way to go.
You know, if you have a home and maybe a second home, and two of you worked and had 401ks and other investments, probably upon the death of the second person, or even the death of the first person, you're probably going to be well over the $1 million. It may well be over $2 million. So these are things that you need to be thinking about and look ahead. Now, Kevin, on an estate tax, if your estate is not over $1 million, Do you still have to file and show the state that it's not over $1 million?
No.
Okay, you don't have to do anything.
Correct.
Just file your last tax return for the deceased.
And possibly a 1041 for estate income taxes, but not estate inheritance taxes. You don't have to file anything.
Okay. And estate income taxes would be the income the estate made after the death?
That's right. Until the assets were distributed to where they're going to the beneficiaries.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, this brings up a strong point that Carl and I talk about all the time with people, because when you're doing the estate, there's two ways to generally report it that tax people agree with. Is you can actually do it and say these assets technically transferred the date of death because the person no longer has them. Or you can say it's actually the date of the transfer that you actually transfer the assets, and the person becomes owner of those assets. And it may be really important, because there's a thing called stepped-up basis, and there's also a thing called ordinary income or capital gains income.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you got to look at the estate and say, what really benefits the heirs?
That's exactly right. And, you know, I mean, when you're coming down to getting the appraisals done, sometimes you may want as high a value as you can get, especially if you're under that $1 million, so that the heirs have a higher stepped up basis. And if you're over the million, do you want a higher value or a lower value? Not that there's much wiggle room, but we kind of all know there's some wiggle room there, whatever the CMA or the appraisal comes in at.
Yeah, and the thing is, what you want to try to do is to make it so that you don't have to pay additional estate tax if you don't have to.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes you have no choice.
Yeah, and something that trumps all of this, the CMA or the appraisal valuation, is if the estate goes ahead and sells the real property within like six months or 8 months, the sale price becomes the date of death value, because they don't figure there's much change in value in that 6 months. And so whatever you could try to say high or low basis, but whatever it sells for, that's the value. So,
yeah, you know, and actually that might be a good thing, because, however, if you sold it to your cousin Vinny,
mm-hmm.
and Vinny bought it way below value, you got to be careful of that, because that could come back and bite you.
Yes, it can. Yeah. Now we're talking related party losses and various things. Yeah. So, yeah.
But here's the thing, folks. Don't try to outsmart the government or the state, because you will get bit. So you got to do things legitimately. And if you're selling it to your cousin Vinny because he's a nice guy and you discounted the value 40%, so you didn't have to pay estate tax, that probably isn't going to hold up.
Yeah. And you can do it. There's times to make deals to, you know, relatives and such, but you just have to know the rules that apply, and they're not going to let you take a huge tax loss when you sell it to a related party. That related party has to adjust some things, and you don't get that tax loss. So yeah, there is good things to do in selling it at a discount if you want, but there's just additional rules to know.
Well, you know, speaking of, this is not the estate tax, but this is about income tax, and something that happened this past week to us that I talked to you about. And we kind of like to talk about things that happened during the week, but we had a long-term client. Actually, he was one of the very first callers that ever called us on our radio show, and was a client and passed away, and left his IRA to his two sons. And one of the problems is he had not taken enough RMD out of his account, because mm-hmm. we're waiting till December. And unfortunately, he passed away prior to that. And so we had not taken enough RMD out. And once he passed away, we had to notify the investment companies. And by law, we can't pay money to somebody who's deceased. So therein lies the problem with IRAs waiting to take your RMD to the end of the year if you pass away. So, Kevin, how do we resolve that?
Yes, I do recall we spoke about that this
yes.
week. fortunately, you have some time to make the required minimum distribution I think it's till December of the following year. But ultimately, the IRS wants to see at least that amount of money come out of the IRA. And so long as soon as you can do that and you make the distributions that need to be made, even if they go to the beneficiaries, what have you, the key is make the distributions. And then if there is any, and there's a way to report it on the final 1040 to show that
well, fortunately,
right,
we did everything properly. So we have the proper beneficiary IRA set up.
Uh-huh.
And so each of the boys have their IRA set up as a beneficiary IRA. And so we're going to make a distribution for each of them. They're in a higher tax bracket than their dad was. And so we're going to make a distribution in December, have them pay the tax like their dad would have paid.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it's not a large amount, mm-hmm. but it's enough that we don't want to take a chance, because if we don't recognize it and then the IRS catches you, there can be exorbitant penalties and fees for not doing that. So it's better to bite the bullet, pay the tax now, do it correctly, have it done.
Yeah. Yeah, the penalties on that are pretty good. Usually, if you've made the attempt to do things right and you get the right amount of money out, you're going to be fine. But and if we're talking about a small amount, it's, you know, you've got a little leeway too. But if you're talking about a $20,000 RMD, you definitely need to cross your T's, dot your I's to make sure that it appears right.
Yeah, in this case, it was a small amount, and you know, even though we didn't really want to have to pay the tax on that money, it's still better than the consequences.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to bite the bullet. But the thing is, folks, one of the things we tell our clients all the time is that, you know, we don't try to cheat the government out of their taxes. We try to do things correctly. And yes, we want to pay the least amount of tax we want to pay, but we're certainly not going to encourage people to not do it and not show it the correct way. Because look, the end result is you're going to end up getting caught. You're going to end up paying. And so why not just do it correctly to begin with? It makes a lot more sense. Saves a lot of headache, too. It's kind of like, you know, the guy that's telling you the truth doesn't have to remember their story, you know? And so you don't have to remember your story when you go there to the IRS and they're asking you for money. If you did it honestly in the correct way, you're home free. If you didn't, you're going to be sweating and you're going to be writing a big check. And that's no fun at all.
Yeah.
I'd rather pay the little amount going in and do it correctly. And, you know, so listen, if you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. And we're gonna take a quick break here, but first of all, when we come back, are we going to do Kevin's the tax investigator?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, we're going to do the tax investigator, and I'm going to tell you a story after that. So, little tease to keep you listening if you like stories. And it's not a story, it's actually just kind of like a question. But we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Do Investing Simplified.
My name is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we do welcome your calls, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. And interestingly, after we have just been discussing how you should be filing your taxes and doing the right thing and all that good stuff, I did have one little blip here to talk about regarding the significant cuts at the IRS that have cut into the amount of enforcement that they've been doing in tax fraud cases. Basically, since about 2010, it looks like the number of cases that they're bringing in the criminal division are down significantly by about a fifth, about 20%. So, and they've closed four of their field offices. I think this is one area that particularly the IRS and the FBI, I hate to see those two agencies be used for political purposes and be pawns in the political games that are being played. One side uses the IRS to attack the other side, and then the other side cuts funding to the IRS, and I think it hurts the country as a whole. And you know, having the FBI being used as your watchdog and your investigative side of things on the other, it's just I hate to see that all around. It feels to me that, coming from a conservative perspective, it seems to me that the IRS needs a little bit more funding to effectively enforce the tax laws that we have. Fortunately, though, we do have a case that just came through, and actually came through Multnomah County here, and it was a tax dodger who just got sentenced to about 10 years for the sovereign citizen argument that, you're not having to pay taxes and all this type of thing. So at least there is some enforcement for some pretty egregious cases. But anyway, that's all I had to say there. Let's go to the phones here. We do have a caller. We have David. David, are you there?
Yes.
Hello, David. And your question?
The question concerns, I don't think this is a new part of the IRS tax code, but let's just say, for simple arithmetic here, simple math, I'm required to pay a $25,000 RMD, and I ask the company that holds those securities, whether they be stocks or bonds or whatever they are, to take $10,000 and send it to different charities. And so they write the checks, put my name on it so that the charity knows where it's coming from, send the checks to me, and I mail them out. And I included a cover letter. So are there places on the tax forms to indicate that, yeah, I took all my RMD, but I just didn't keep it all?
Well, not on the tax forms. Basically, you're only going to be showing $15,000 of taxable IRA distributions in that case. That's the benefit of giving directly to charity from your RMD, is you don't have to recognize that RMD into income and increase your adjusted gross income, which affects other calculations. So you'd only show $15,000. However, I'm guessing on the year-end form that the brokerage company sends to the IRS, I don't know if they show RMDs on there. They show the value. That's a good question. I don't know if the only way to prove that would be if the IRS came knocking and said, "Hey, did you take your RMD?" 'Cause the full 25,000 would need to go out. But you would have all the documentation to easily prove that it did go out. So
yeah, well, we made photocopies of all the checks. And I called each company subsequent and said, did you receive it? And I need a receipt. And all but one has sent me a receipt so far.
Okay, okay.
One is being recalcitrant, very recalcitrant.
I see. Recalcitrant is not good.
Stubborn.
Especially when it comes to you documenting your your tax.
Being stubborn.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So that isn't a... That's something that's been on the books for a few years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been. I can't tell you exactly when, but I would say it's been within, you know, five or eight years or so. Maybe not eight, but...
So it's not going to be anything new to the IRS then?
Correct. Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Very good call, David.
Yeah, thanks, David. Good call. Good question.
Highly recommend, if you're charitably inclined and you have an RMD situation, that you pay your charities out of your IRA. There's it's only good can come of it. So unless, of course, you can't document and the IRS comes auditing. No, that should be fine.
Yeah, well, you better be able to document it.
That's right. That's right. Well, today on the Tax Investigator, I thought I would just chat briefly about one of the new tax law changes that has come through for 2018. And it's regarding meals and entertainment. There's been a bunch of talk about that and what's deductible and not deductible. What are the changes that have come through on that? And I thought I would just highlight a couple that would affect most of our listeners. And it's kind of interesting. They've tightened them down. In most cases, they're not letting you take any more meals and entertainment, but they are definitely limiting it in some manner. So the first thing is say you have a small business and you go to a meal with a client. The old rules say you could take 50% of that expense and deduct it on your tax return, so long as it wasn't lavish or extravagant. And how that's defined is up to interpretation. The new rules say that you still get 50%, but only if business is conducted. So you have to be able to prove that there was some sort of business being conducted. Maybe a contract was signed, or maybe it was just even negotiated. Probably not that big of a change because, I think you're supposed to be doing business kind of anyway, but that is a change there. Here's an interesting one that I think will affect a lot of people, and I think this is the heart of the changes that they made. Sporting events. So this is going to fall under the entertainment section of it. In the past, you were able to deduct 50% of the face value of a ticket. So you go to a Blazer game, it cost $100, you get to deduct $50 on your tax return if you went with a client. Also the same with skyboxes, any non-luxury seat ticket face value, 50%. Here's a key one, is charitable sports events. Contributions, say, to your university for the right to purchase season tickets. Usually you had to put a chunk up front, usually, $1,500, $3,000, somewhere around there, allowed you to purchase season tickets. And you could take 80% of that amount. So regarding all of these sporting event tickets, 50%, 50%, 80%, whatever. Now the new rules say you get to take 100% of nothing. Zero. Zip, zilch.
Nada.
All of your sporting events, all of your entertainment, your Broadway shows, taking your clients, schmoozing
golf.
Them. Golf. Out the window. Nothing. You get none of it. So that's an easy way to look at it. And frankly, I think that's probably the right thing. I know some businesses are focused on client relations and kind of the schmoozing and what have you, but clearly an area of personal benefit for those who could afford those type of things, and they would take significant entertainment expenses and say, "Hey, this was all for business," when for the most part, It probably wasn't. So that's probably the big change. Another big change is regarding country club dues, membership dues, that type of a thing. Used to be that the dues were never deductible, and they still are not deductible, but the cost of, say, meals, when you took a client golfing to your country club and then you had a meal afterward, the meal was 50%. No, nothing anymore. You don't even get that. Anything through your country club that you're a member of, that's out the door. And then the last one I thought I would chat about, which might apply to our employees, people that are employed with bigger companies, Intel, that type of a thing. Say you're on business travel and you buy your own meal and you have significant hotel or meals expense that they don't reimburse. Used to be you could take 50% of those, but there is no place for that anymore on the tax return. Unreimbursed employee expenses are gone. There's no Schedule A 2% section anymore. So note that. That could have a...
So are corporations allowed to send their employees on extravagant trips and write them off?
Potentially.
If it's a training or something like
potentially,
that.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of different. That would be a conference type thing. But
if you incurred any expenses on your own getting there,
right,
that's, you can't write that off.
Exactly right. And one last detail here is, so employers used to, they could provide meals for their employees. They can provide coffee and water and snacks. Those were all 100% deductible. They've reduced that to 50% deductible for the employer. So if you no longer get employer-provided coffee, your employer's being cheap on you because they dropped it because they only get it right half of it off instead of 100%. So anyway, those are a few things that you might see altering your landscape. So anyway, that's the tax investigator for today.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Knowledge Trust. And I do want to give this little disclaimer. If you hear anything about any comment about the financial doctor, we use the financial doctor. I am not a medical doctor of any kind. We use the financial doctor in a term that we believe that anybody 50 and above should have an annual physical, just like you should have an annual review of your financial investing. So we take it in that vein. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
This is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. Just a time where we kind of talk about things, but also open up the lines for you to give us a call. And, you know, what you don't know can hurt you. So pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll free, 877-733-1011. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of intelligent people out there today that seem to want to make money by ripping other people off. And I got to tell you, on the web, and we all have to, you pretty much have to work on the internet. You pretty much have to, because most software and everything is on the web anyway. And so you email is a way to contact people. One of the things you got to be really, really cautious about is I just got an email from one of my clients that they'd gotten an email from my office, but it didn't look quite right. Well, it didn't look quite right because it's not an email from our office. It's a fishing expedition. And listen, we tell all of our clients, if we're going to send you an attachment to open, we're going to call you first. And this is what we've had to do. We have to call our clients first, telling them we're sending an attachment. Take a look at the attachment. Review it. Once you've done it, delete it. And, you know, and we will not send you another attachment unless we notify you. And by doing that, we hope to eliminate some of this. But look, you can have the best plans in the world, but I'm telling you, these people are really, really good at doing this kind of stuff. And you just got to be aware and you got to protect yourself. Do not open any emails from people you do not confirm that it's from them, that you know, and particularly do not open any attachments. You just can't do it. You know, if you do, you're going to get nailed and they're going to get into your system. So you got to be careful and just got to be careful out there. You know, coming in today, I was listening to a show and they were talking about fees and charges and all kinds of stuff. And it was kind of amazing because I've heard this before. I've heard this. I don't know if it's the same show, it's the same people, but you know, they talk about it's not a cookie cutter type thing or anything that they do. But you know, to me, I kind of listened to it and it kind of made me think about this. You know, Kevin, have you ever asked somebody what time it is to have them turn around and start telling you the kind of watch they got, where it was made, you know, their grandfather left it to them. And you just kind of looked at them and said, you know, really, all I really wanted to know was what time it was. You know, I don't want to insult your grandfather, but I just want to know what time it is. Well, you know, folks, that's kind of an example of talking to some of these financial advisors I listen to. They want to show you charts, graphs. They want to give you complicated words, tell you about fees, charges, expenses. The problem is what they never disclose is the fees that you cannot find and that you cannot see. And they also tell you that, hey, their high commission that they receive, it's paid by the company, so therefore you don't pay it, and you're not paying it to them. What got news for you? And then they turn around and say, nobody works for free. Well, if nobody works for free, and they're getting a commission seven times higher than we receive, you know, who do you think's paying for that? You think the insurance company's paying for that? No way. I guarantee you all those products that they're talking about have either caps or spreads. And most insurance companies on those annuities, when they're talking income, they're talking about an income annuity. And I can tell you one of the most expensive things to buy in the world is an income annuity. The insurance companies love them because they make a lot of money. Because most people don't outlive life expectancy. And most of them, the insurance company, that's why they charge fees in them. I could tell you that most of them start out at 0.95 to 1.95. And so over 20 years, you could have a difference of 20%. Now just think about this, folks. You got $300,000, 20% $6,000 a year, $6,000 over 20 years. Is $120,000. Gee, let me see. I want the insurance company to get that $120,000, or I want it. I think I want it. You know, I mean, look, these are the things they don't tell you, and you have to ask. If you don't ask, you know, and I listened to this person talking on the radio today, and I thought, guy, you know, what they're not telling is that they get a really high commission selling that product. And the insurance company doesn't make any money for 7 years. So what do you think the insurance company is doing on the renewal on the caps and the spreads? They're changing them because they got to make some money. Like they say, nobody works for free. Well, look, if somebody's telling you nobody works for free and then it doesn't make sense to you, then ask them, wait a minute. If they're not working for free, how are they getting paid? The cream, it's in the complication of the problem, mm-hmm. and so you have to ask. You know, we got a question on the line. It looks like we've got a call from Bill. Bill, you got a question about tax law?
Well, yeah, I'm just curious for Kevin would answer this. That how are these tax laws created every year? It seems they change yearly, and as everyone knows, you know, the U.S. tax laws are very complicated. But who decides, like, one year sporting events are going to be deducted, next year they're not? Is that something that's is a board decides this or what?
Very good question. I feel like I should pull the string on Chuck's chest and let him unload on this one. Unfortunately, it's all about who's in power at the time and what their, you know, political perspective is. Obama, he put a number of tax law changes in, particularly around Obamacare. You know, Trump is now in, and he's looking to help small businesses and big businesses. He's helping to look businesses. So, and then you've got Congress who, you know, has their rules that say, hey, you know, the budget still has to balance with all of these changes. So it's quite a whirlpool, but it's probably more like a cesspool going on with all of that. So it's in Washington.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it has to do with politics. You know, the funny thing is I listened to an ad the other day about two people running for office, and if you heard the ad, it sounded like to me that both of them ought to be in jail because they both sounded like crooks. But the reality is this. Folks, when Obamacare did get passed, they took $800 billion from Medicare to fund into Obamacare. And then I hear these politicians say, well, they want to get rid of Medicare. Well, we need to fund Medicare properly. We need to fund it correctly. We need to also stop the corruption inside Medicare that is self-built in, as in most political systems, it gets self-built in. And you and I, the taxpayer, pay for that. You know, I hear people say they want transparency. Well, I would love to have transparency. I'd like to see where all this money goes that we pay in. It's kind of like they're saying now that when the illegal aliens come across the border, it costs each of us about $70,000. Well, when driving in here, I heard an ad for Wounded Warriors, which I support. And, you know, I think it's kind of a crying shame we have a country that supports illegal people coming into our country, and yet the guys who have fought for us and have gotten hurt in military or their lives ruined, we have to collect money to help them when our government ought to be paying 150% of every stinking thing they have that these people need. This is just crazy. We need to take care. If you don't take care of your own, you don't take care of anybody. And if we don't take care of our veterans, you know, that really sucks. And the one question I'd have for you to vote for anybody, I'd go up and ask them, number one, are you going to take care of the veterans before you take care of your political interests? Are you going to take care of the veterans before you're going to support people who are here illegal? Are you going to support the veterans? Because, folks, there's going to be a day. Now, thank God we haven't had it for about 40 years, but there's going to be a day when we're going to need our military. And I got news for you. We want them to be there. We want young men to still volunteer to be there. And if we keep treating them the way we're treating them, I can't blame young people for not wanting to go into the military because this country doesn't support them. That's my tirade. So I'm pumped now. It's a good thing the show's coming to an end. Kevin, how's somebody get a hold of you?
We are at baker-colson.com. Phone number is 503-666-5569, and we're located out the east side of Division, right across from the Gresham Golf Course.
And I'm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103. My number is 503-253-3000 or pfgwm.com. Don't forget, we have three books. If you want one of our books, you can come by, get them for free. Of course, Investing Simplified, we always have available for you for free. No obligation, no appointments. God bless everybody, and drive safe out there over the weekend and enjoy it. And we'll be back next Saturday on Investing Simplified.
Financial Group. Where is Financial Group? Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called AssetLock. AssetLock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers AssetLock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have AssetLock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get AssetLock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.